Do you have an idea for a podcast, but you don't know where to start? Maybe you're overwhelmed by all the tech or you're convinced nobody will actually listen to you. Well, I'm Shauna Game. After 9.5 years as a professional podcaster, at this show, Everyone's Talking Money, and 25 million downloads later, let me tell you the secret to a profitable podcast. It is building a solid foundation, your podcast roadmap before you launch. That's why I created the Podcaster Class, a fast-paced group cohort podcasting for profit 8-week style MBA program. The Podcaster Class is immersive, comprehensive, and insanely motivational. If you want to create a podcast, DIYing a launch is just not the way to go. In the Podcaster Class, you'll get the tools, tips, and strategies to create a podcast that resonates with listeners and one you can be proud of. Get this, 90% of podcasters never make it to episode 3. That's 2.8 million podcasters who just quit. So to be a top podcaster, you only need to publish 21 episodes, but you got to make them good. So in the Podcaster Class, I'm taking the mystery out of how to create, launch, and profit from your podcast so you can create a top 1% podcast just like this one. The May cohort is now open for enrollment. Classes start May 22nd. There are only 15 spots open. You are going to learn podcasting with me and 14 other amazing people. You can learn all the details at thepodcasterclass.com. Use code podcast when you sign up for $100 off. That's thepodcasterclass.com. You know I'm a big fan of enjoying life while still being smart financially. That's why I love ButcherBox. I can get a variety of high-quality meat, seafood, chicken, and pork at an amazing value, all with exclusive member deals delivered to my door with free shipping always. One thing I just never wanted to cut out of my spending plan is eating good food. And with ButcherBox, I don't have to, and neither do you. Where else can you get free protein for a whole year? Yes, you heard that right. One of my favorite go-to dinners is a salmon bowl. I'm not even a huge salmon lover, but ButcherBox's wild-caught salmon is oh so good. I make a nice little marinade, saute some veggies, cook the salmon, and throw in some Weiss. And it is an amazing dinner. If you want to take less trips to the grocery store and always have prepared meat in the freezer for a lot less money, you need ButcherBox in your life. Sign up at butcherbox.com/ETM and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. You can choose salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/ETM. I'm Shauna Compton Game. This is Millennial Money, and today is Lifestyle Thursday. Lifestyle Thursday, we're going to feature all sorts of people who are doing really cool things. We've got musicians, we've got Michelin star chefs, we've got entrepreneurs, we've got just about everybody who is doing something cool and awesome that I think you guys should know about. So today we are talking to Grammy-nominated singer-songwriter Sarah Kelly, and I hope you enjoy this one. If you've not heard Sarah Kelly's music before, you're definitely going to want to download it, get it on your iPod ASAP. So I hope you enjoy the first of our Lifestyle Thursdays.
Millennial Money with Shauna Compton Game. It will expand your brain.
Singer-songwriter Sarah Kelly has toured the world, twice nominated for a Grammy, and worked with the likes of Slash from Guns N' Roses. While Sarah is still making new music and touring, today her big passion is helping the next generation of singer-songwriters with her Sarah Kelly Music School. Located in Houston, where students actually work with Sarah and many other music industry insiders. Sarah gave us an inside look into her thriving music school and artists of the future. So you've been nominated for a couple Grammys yourself, toured all around the world. You have your own singing career. You married a Swede. So why the Sarah Kelly Music School, and how did that all come about?
It's so, It's actually a really great story. Back when I was charting and you know, touring, I did about 2,000 gigs in 10 years. So, I mean, that's a lot of gigging. If you know anything about gigging, that means that I'm home 2 days a month, basically, for 10 years of my life, and gave the road all of that time. But even back then, when I was like charting, I was all over radio, I was doing interviews every day, all day. It's so fun because I looked up some old ones, some way, way back when I first started peeking out as a, you know, as a musician and as a singer-songwriter. In 2004, I found this interview from way back then talking about, well, I'm going to go touring for a while because I got a Grammy nomination and I can't believe it. I think 2005 was my first nomination and I must have just found out or something that I was nominated. So, because they were asking if I thought I'd win, and I was like, no way. I don't even know how I got on that thing. But it was like, in the interview, it talks about, but someday I'm going to have a music school. That's where this is all headed. Someday, I just want to have, I think at that point I said the largest chain of music schools, which is so funny because that's, the dream has changed, completely since then. I think 2000 gigs have changed me, but, now I just want the best music school, not necessarily the biggest. So, but yeah, I mean, it's always been a part of me. I started teaching when I was 17 years old. And yes, I had a season where I didn't get to do that because I was just constantly on the road. But even when I was on the road, I remember after gigs, you know, kids or individuals would come up to me and want to show me a new song. And I would sit down with them and like kind of help them with it. So it's always been my heart to teach not only music, but specifically songwriting. Because I know what an outlet it was for me in high school and that it would have been very hard to get through it. Junior high and high school and all the mean girls and everything that comes with it. So, you know, just to have that outlet, I've always had that heart to make sure that everybody that I come in contact with has that outlet too. So, yeah.
So what you took a while to become a singer, to discover that you actually had a voice. Did you also teach at the time when you were like in high school and stuff?
Actually, yes. I started teaching my first 7 students. I charged, it's so funny because everything's 7, but it was $7 a lesson. I charge a lot more now, but it was $7 a lesson, $35 a month. And I had 7 students when I was 17. How fun is that? So it grew. And by the time I was 18, I had 100 students. So apparently I wasn't bad at this. And I had already taught at one of the more prominent piano stores. Now, I was just teaching piano because, like you said, I didn't sing yet. I didn't even know I could sing. So I was just teaching piano, but I was also teaching songwriting on the piano, more like movie soundtrack music, you know, how to flow on the piano. So I think that was what was making me stand out as an area music teacher in Rockford, Illinois at the time, was that these kids were getting so creative and so good, and they were finding out you could, I mean, songwriting is something you can actually teach. It's not, you're not born with the skill, you know, right. People think you're just born like a great songwriter and it takes years to become a great songwriter. So, but anyway, yeah, I think that's where it all started, was back in Rockford, and way before I had my own songs, but I was making other people sing them at the time.
When did you actually discover, how old were you when you discovered that you could actually sing?
Well, actually, it was probably 20 years old, 21, when I started singing more regularly. You know, so many of us start in church, you know, that's where you get thrown on stage because somebody's sick or, you know, they need volunteers and whatnot. So, but the college group at my church, our pastor, like, pretty much threw me in the deep end because the worship leader was, you know, for whatever reason, I don't remember if she was sick or if she was leaving or, you know, graduating or something that was going on and they needed someone. So, I mean, it was so funny because I would always make the students sing each songs and I wouldn't sing at first and I was just hiding behind them playing the piano, you know. And then soon the pastor kept asking me, you know, you need to sing more. We need your presence up there. We need, you know, and then once I started singing more, he kept encouraging me, just like, Sarah, the air in the room changes when you start to sing. I don't know who told you you can't do this, but you're very good at this. Stop, you know, hiding. So, I mean, just his encouragement got me to sing more and more. And it wasn't a natural thing for me to like, be like, look at me and step in the spotlight. It was somebody had to push me into that thing. I mean, I remember, he literally made me sing later as I got better and better and did it more and more. He had me sing at a national worship leaders conference, and it was like my biggest crowd up till that point. And I was singing an original song, a course, because I die on the hill of original songs. You know, I love the singer songwriter, and that's my thing. Right. So I got up there, but before I went on, I mean, I literally puked or tossed my cookies or whatever, however you want to say it. It's so
puke work, puke works.
Yeah, right behind the church stage as I'm going on. So, I mean, that's how not natural, even in the worship setting where it's not about you and you don't have to be performing as much. I mean, even then it was just not necessarily that natural fit, like teaching and like inspiring young people to write. It is a very natural thing for me to do. So,
right. And now it seems like you've come full circle now, teaching these young students and stuff.
It is so cool because I made it, because he made me do it. And then I made me do it. You know, just over and over, I always tell my students, you know, it takes about 100 gigs of flailing, of being awful, of feeling like you failed human existence. Like you beat yourself up after it and you're like, why do I do this to myself? I'm awful. And the funny, you're not awful, but you feel like you were awful. And if you can get through those first 100 gigs, I always tell them it gets really fun because all that nervous energy becomes rocket fuel. And that's when I started actually rocking shows, and it got really, really fun. But it was kind of torture for the first 100 because it wasn't that natural tendency in me to just want to get up there and rock it.
Right.
So
right.
I that was a learned skill for me. But it did get highly enjoyable. I mean, my favorite shows are playing in Sweden in front of a more rock crowd. And it's just so fun. I mean, now it's no problem. But it really was at first.
So have you guys moved into your own space now for the music school?
Yeah, we have. We've been alive at the music school for 5 years now. And we had a little space in like an old warehouse. It was really gross. So we moved it to our house. And the kids really liked that because it was more personal. And then they get to, you know, I'm, you know, one of the worship leaders at a huge church here. So, I mean, they get to go to Sarah Kelly's house, you know, and hang out with me and stuff. So that was really, really fun. But the school just grew and grew, and we had more and more college kids coming and staying with me. So, even when we doubled our size of our house, it still was crowded. And, so we basically, you know, I mean, we have 6 kids living upstairs right now. I mean, just to let you know, I mean, so the school, it just kind of keeps getting pushed out. So now we got a place at Market Street. It's called Market Street in the Woodlands. It's like one of the, it's so funny. If you know me, Jeff, I'm like, I am not a fancy person. I'm like, I lived in a van, you know, like for the beginning of my touring behind Jars of Clay's buses, you know, like literally just going on tour with them and opening and, you know, you can't be super fancy and live on the road. You know, that those two things don't go together. But our school is actually like right next to like Kate Spade and like Tiffany's and like all the she stores. And it's so funny because it's like Sarah Kelly Music School. What? You know?
Right, so right.
Fun, you know? So, but it's a super fancy and really super nice place. And we get to play at all their events. And like, I mean, it's bringing a tremendous opportunity for the students to be seen and heard because there's like this like Central Park area where they can go out and we can do shows like right in the middle of Market Street. And it's so fun. It's fun.
That's very cool. How many students do you guys have right now, and what do the students learn, and what kind of different classes do you offer?
Yeah, we have 168 right now, which is crazy. We did have a lot more. We had 300 a couple of years ago, and then we downsized to 70 on purpose and just built it slow again. It just got too big too fast. I'm a big advocate of slow growth and just making sure that I'm giving each student what they deserve when they walk in that door, which is my best. So we have grown back to 168. We're hanging tight right there. We're not accepting anymore. Like, as far as there is a waiting list and people come and go. I mean, people graduate and go off to college, and there is always, you know, we can find space if there's the right fit or stuff, but we're going to hang tight at that 168 for a little bit. And then we're planning on doing a little bit more growing in January.
Hey, Shauna here. Don't forget, you've got just a few more days to get your entry in for our amazing Niagara Falls Getaway Giveaway sponsored by JetBlue Airlines. It's a flight for two from LAX to Buffalo, a two-night stay at the awesome Hotel Giacomo. It includes a Discovery Pass for two so you can check out all of the fantastic Niagara Falls offerings, as well as a wine and chocolate pairing for two at Black Willow Winery. So head on over to http://bit.ly/Niagara Giveaway. The contest will be up through November 8th at 9 p.m. Pacific time. So get your entry in, and I can't wait to see you in Niagara. Now, check out a few tunes from Sarah Kelly. About the kind of like crossover, you know, for a lot of these students between, you know, hobby and actual musician. Like, what does it take these days to be, you know, a successful musician, to earn a living, and to really make this a career?
I mean, I think guidance is part of it. I always tell the students, I made a ton of mistakes, you know, like, so the best way to learn is from someone else's mistakes, you know, to have that guidance to say, oh, don't do that. That's not going to work. I tried that.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
For instance, like this just gives you an idea of what I'm talking about. A lot of these kids have these grandiose idea of starting a band because they want that camaraderie. They want, you know, there's a security in numbers, and you feel better when it's not just you in front, you know? But the thing is that there's a lot of liability that comes business wise that comes with a band. So I can kind of walk them through. Maybe you just want to have a band name and you want to own the name of the band, and then you can hire your musicians and hopefully they stay great and you stay great and they stay forever. But if they don't, your band doesn't have to fold, like what happened to Guns N' Roses, because Axl owned that name, I believe. So all of a sudden the Velvet Revolver guys needed a band and they had to start over, you know? So, I mean, that kind of advice, you know, just trying to help them set it up right so it can succeed and not, you know, destined for business failure. So those kind of things I can really help them with and stuff. So I think that's important, guidance. I think drive is number one. People would say talent, but honestly, I just don't, it's not so important that somebody walks in to my lessons. Great. Yeah. That doesn't really impress me. And I think that comes and goes. It's a dime a dozen, talent right now. What really impresses me and what I can really work with is someone who's driven, who is willing to put the work in. And you know, the kind of person that when the door closes, they find the crack in the window next to it and wiggle on through. You know, that's the person I'm looking to work with on that level. Because that's what it takes. It takes the person that, you know, because I mean, bottom line is moms are critical and dads are critical or cousins are critical. And if you can't get over just your own family being critical, how in the world are you going to get over management and booking? And, you know, it can't be that super soft soul that just cares what everybody thinks. It's got to be that one that's like, I'm going to do this. And I might look stupid for a while, but I'm going to do it.
Yeah, I mean, because you know, Bob Dylan and Bruce Springsteen, they're not making American Idol or The Voice or anything like that. You know, but they had a drive in it. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, in this day and age, this is why I'm doing this, Jeff. Is I believe in the singer songwriters, the modern day prophets, if you will, the people with something to say. You know, and right now it's lost. It's gone. There is no platform, zero, for a singer-songwriter. The Bob Dylans wouldn't make it today. Shh, shh, shh. They just wouldn't, peek out today. A few of them are because the whole indie scene is getting bigger and bigger. But I love the fact that half of the nominations for Grammys last year, half of the Grammys went to independent artists. How awesome is that? I'm just so excited because that says that something is changing. But there is, I mean, when literally I'm talking with my friends in the record industry that are like presidents and head A&Rs, and they can't sign you if you don't come with a crowd of 200,000 right now. They can't. So basically the singer-songwriters with great music that are super talented, unless they win The Voice and unless they win or American Idol or whatever is now, you know, unless they're winning these things and coming with a built-in crowd, basically singing karaoke, singing other people's music, they're not going to get signed right now. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, there's no platform. There's no way to be heard as a singer-songwriter. So what we're trying to do is remedy that. We're trying to help these kids peek out. We're becoming like we always say we're not a school, like a building. We're a school, more like a group of artists that swim together, like a school of fish. We got each other's back. We show up at each other's show. We're making sure each other's in the press. We're mentioning each other when we have it. So it's like we're dragging each other with us and becoming quite a force. That's the plan. And it's slowly but surely working. These kids, when they sign up for career coaching, they have 17 gigs booked the minute they say yes. You know, so I mean, they're gaining crowds every night, and they're sharing their crowd with each other's crowds, and it's becoming quite, you know, quite a thing in this area. And I think soon, hopefully, we're going to expand to like places like Nashville and LA, and start to be a voice out there as well, and just inspire the singer songwriters that there is a way to be heard, and there is a group of people that care about your music, you know. So. Anyway, that's the aim here. That's the real thing is not to necessarily teach. My real passion is not necessarily to teach a 5-year-old. I love that. It's so much fun, you know, to play old McDonald or whatever. But I think the end game for me is to see some of these singer-songwriters start to make it on the Grammy ballot like they are. And like Leslie, who, you know, was just down here, lives upstairs and helps me teach and whatnot. I mean, she just played main stage on a festival that she met me at 4 years ago and waited in line for an autograph. And she just played that same festival stage. That's what I'm talking about. Helping them peek out, helping them get somewhere.
That's awesome. So, you know, I know you talked about kind of like slow growth with the music school, but like, let's fast forward, like even just a year from now, what are kind of your plans or your vision for the school?
Well, the slams are awesome. The 7th to 12th and the boot camps, which are my, teens, which is kind of my sweet spot. I love the teens and helping them, you know, get through, like I said, get through junior high. They have a lot to say, and the songwriting turns into a great outlet for them. So those we are going to try to reproduce in two or three. I have some help with my publicist. Their name is Merge, and they're out of Nashville, and they're fabulous, and they're trying. They want me to expand. She said, "You have to come to Nashville because I want my kid there." So I mean, that's so sweet of her. But we are going to try to expand next year slowly again. A program in Nashville and one program in LA, but just for those two things, not the songwriting or the career coaching, that's going to be here at the mothership, but basically another filtering system to find these kids that I'm going to work with and help with their careers. So, and to, you know, give that gift of songwriting to people to help them. I mean, there's a lot of purpose in that too, for me, to just help a kid get through high school. So, I mean, giving them that way to do it through songwriting. So, and then some of them will come on and record with us and we'll help on a deeper level. So, but we are going to, next year, we're going to open up in a couple of different places and I'm scared to death, but I mean, our publicist is like, that's the next step. And we're just kind of taking one step and letting, I don't know if you guys are familiar. I grew up in church, as you guys know, and I was telling someone, it feels like, I feel like, you know how the story of Moses and the Red Sea, and he's walking through and the children of Israel or whatever. I kind of feel like I'm in the middle of that right now. You don't really have to wonder where to walk.
Right,
you know,
right,
you go right. Either side, you're going to, you know, run into some fish. So you're going to just keep walking forward and just try to enjoy the miracle that's kind of happening around you. And put one foot in front of the other. And then every day is like a new surprise every day. I mean, this month alone, I mean, we had GMA, Gospel Music Association Songwriter of the Year was awarded to one of our students, the Cantina Songwriter of the Year, which is another huge songwriter honor, was awarded to Heidi Mays, who is one of our students. We had, I mean, Ryan Kennedy was the GMA one. I mean, we have so many. Oh, Nomi, good night. Nomi won something in Sweden, something I can't pronounce, of course, and it's all over Swedish radio, so we have a Swedish pop star in the house now, and, like, I mean, it's getting really fun because it's starting to really work, and we're starting to push onto some scenes that would be impossible as one person, but as a school, it's working.
Right, right. So how many of the students have been signed to labels?
We have one.
Okay.
One that has been signed. Keep in mind, we just started 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, these kids come to me when they're like, I don't know, 11. So, you know what I'm saying? So she's like 16 now and she just signed. But I have a feeling that we will have a bunch more starting to sign deals. But again, labels are not signing anything. And Jeff, you know what? We really are a label. We're not a label. We don't ever want them to sign anything. We don't want to own their music. I'm so idealistic, you know. Mm-hmm. But we function as a label. We're helping them get gigs. We're helping them get interviews. We're helping them. We have a publicist. They're on the Grammy ballot under our name. You know, meaning like the school is submitting them. You know what I'm I mean, that's what labels do. I mean, everything that I'm listing is what a label does. We're kind of just, we're not a label. We wake up every day and we chant it to ourselves. We're not a label. We're not a label. We're not 911 either. Some of the parents are like, we're with you. They're like texting us at 2 a.m. We're like, we're not 911. But we're just a school, but we're actually more than a school, and we are functioning in their life as a label until they get one. And some of them are going to figure out they don't need one. That's the beauty of this thing, is that honestly, I mean, I've had friends super high up in that label world look at me and go, I want to sign a few of your students. But I would be signing them on a sinking ship. I mean,
right,
labels are dying.
Right, right.
So I think we have to figure out a different way to do things. And I think the school is a big part of that. I think the way that we are running this could be a little bit of the future of music here. Because we are figuring out a way to fund artists.
Right.
And that is what labels cannot figure out right now. How do they fund artist development? They cannot sign anybody that they believe in that doesn't have a following of 200,000 because they need the money from the 200,000. So honestly, it's the slams, the little kid classes. I have Ryan Kennedy, who just won Gospel Music Association of the Year's a big award this year, coming and writing a song about a horse with a seven-year-old on Tuesday. And it's so awesome. And he doesn't mind doing it because it's that seven-year-old's money that's paying for his publicist that got him where he is. So it's kind of this really awesome mechanism of giving back, right. You know, and funding their careers, a way to fund it.
Right. Are you working on any new music yourself?
Yes, actually, this is kind of fun. I just decided this week to make an EP, probably 5 or 6 songs, and I'm going to call it Co-Writes, because everyone's like, when are you putting out your own music? And it's so funny because I'm like, well, I'm pretty sure I wrote 1,000 songs last year. I mean, it's like, not that I'm not writing, it's just on other people's projects because I'm writing with these kids. I'm writing with these students. We had 1,000 demos last year. And 86 full production songs last year come out of the school. So I am definitely writing a lot. So I'm going to pick like my favorite songs that I've co-written with these kids, and I'm going to deliver them in my way and kind of present them in that way. And then hopefully if we do hit the road again, I'll take some of them with me. And that way we can, you know, again, share the stage. So.
Right. Oh, that's really cool. I like that.
Isn't that fun?
That's totally fun. I think you mentioned it the last time we spoke that that's what you wanted to do. So yeah, I like that idea a lot.
The co-writes. I mean, I hadn't really, and that's also, I mean, I'm trying, okay, I have done a lot of Christian music, as you know, and some of the songs that I've written with that I'm writing with these kids are like super spicy. So I'm just trying to find where that line is. I mean, they're writing to these bullies at their schools,
yeah,
and they're writing,
sure.
I mean, there was 4 suicides in our area high school this year. I mean, they're writing about serious things. Right. So I'm just deciding, trying to figure out where that line is, but it's also, it would be really fun to wrap my voice around some of these songs I don't normally sing, you know,
right.
It would
right.
be kind of nice to get out some of my junior high aggression as well. There's one song called Long Way Down, and you know, it's total mean girl song where, one of my students walked in, and this is one of them that's on the ballot this year, but, she walked in 12 or 13, just bawling, and told me the story of what these girls put her through at the school. And I got mad, and guess what happened? A really good song. A really good song. So I think I have a few of these songs that I are a little bit more rock and a little bit more spicy than people are used to from me. So it's going to be fun. I think I'm going to have a lot of fun with it.
So to wrap it up, so you said you have a waiting list, but if people want to check out the school, go to the school and possibly, you know, go to Nashville, where do they go to?
We aren't in Nashville. We're in Texas.
Right. I know. I meant in the future.
In the future, in Nashville and LA and stuff like that.
Exactly.
Well, we are, I mean, there's every day things are growing. We are definitely starting more Skype lessons as well, and doing like kind of long distance lessons with people. And then they come here and record once a year. So, I mean, there is a lot of different options going on that we are growing and kind of developing certain programs. So it's not just for the people in the Woodlands, Texas, or the people that want to move here. So, yes, SarahKellyMusicSchool.com. Come and check it out. Also, a bunch of our students' newer recordings are on there, so you can check out pretty much every week there's new music up, and you know, see what they're into. And then also, if you go to Sweekman.com, SweekMan.com, that's my husband's production company and mine. I produce the vocals, he does the music, and that's a bunch of our students as well are up on there. So stay connected. Also, like us on Facebook, Sarah Kelly Music School. And then also, of course, my own music page, Sarah Kelly Music. So, or I think it's just Sarah Kelly, actually. But if you would like that too, it would be nice.